welcoming in a good friend of ours. We reconnected with every year at Augusta National for the Masters Tournament. He's a local guy there, but of course he covers the Masters for the country of Ireland, right? I mean, that's what I like to give him a bad time about. But he's with the Global Golf Post. He also writes for the all-new Daily Drive, which hits my inbox and always intrigues me. And when I saw his article about Scotty and Nelly, it was so well written. I was like, you know what? Let's get Scott Michaud back on the show. Scott, how are you, man?
I'm great. How you doing, Brian?
I'm good. So how's everything in Ireland? That's the first point of interest.
My understanding is it's raining, so I prefer the Georgia Bureau.
That's a good guess, pretty much 90% of the time, right?
So they've had a rough year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But you wrote for the Augusta Chronicle for a long, long time. And how many Masters have you now covered?
I believe this was 28 this year. Wow. I started in 97 with Tiger,
and
done every one since. Yeah, it was. It was a very, very promising beginning.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we used to occupy that old, in the old press building there, that back row. We sort of flanked the entrance to the media dining. And that was, I kind of, in some ways, I kind of missed a little bit of the charm of the old building, but the new one is... Wow. I don't even know what to say anymore about that place. It's unreal.
It's hard to complain about the new building, but I, like you, I do miss the charm of the old place. And I love being the gatekeeper to the, to the food and the Krispy Kreme donuts.
We were the first in, we knew when the light was on, right? As they say. So, hey, your article that you wrote recently, about both Scotty and Nelly, this is pretty cool stuff. And you just mentioned coming in and starting to cover the Masters when Tiger Woods, you know, won in 1997 and what that did for the game of golf. It's unreal. I mean, we were a couple years later starting Real Golf Radio in 1999, and it was just, you know, Tiger mania. I don't know that it's Scotty mania just yet, but I don't recall world number ones in both the men's and women's games doing what they're doing right now, except for maybe Tiger and Annika back in the day. What is just kind of how big is what Scotty and Nelly are doing right now? How big is that for the game?
You know, I wish it was seen as bigger. You know, by the people right now, because the weird place that golf is in, a lot of people are tuning out a little bit and they're not paying as close attention to what is an extraordinary story going on between the two of them. I mean, Scotty is playing golf that Tiger Woods used to play. He doesn't do it with the same flair and charisma that Tiger did, which may be why people aren't, you know, as drawn to him as everybody was Tiger when he came out. And Tiger's a once in a lifetime kind of character in any sport. But Scotty's golf is second to none. I mean, it's extraordinary what he's doing on the golf course right now. And Nelly, her consistency on the LPGA Tour is unbelievable. I mean, that's only happened twice before that people have won five in a row, and they happen to be all-time Hall of Famers, Nancy Lopez and Annika Sorenstam. I'm kind of glad she took a week off to sort of maybe get down off the high of winning the Chevron Championship last week to see if she can get six in a row the next time, because I think she would have been totally burned out if she tried to play again this week in LA.
No doubt about it. Scott Michaud joining me here on Real Golf Radio. You actually opened up your story with, please pick up the remote and turn golf back on. You recognized in that first paragraph that the golf fans might be upset, disillusioned, frustrated, or whatever with the current narrative. How big of an impact is that right now, do you think, on golf fans? I mean, considering the Masters ratings were down. Now, I'm also trying, this is a two-part of this, and I get accused of asking long questions, so sorry about that. But I think some people are digesting media differently. Maybe, were those ratings consistent with just CBS, or did that also take into what people were consuming over Masters.com and their app?
It clearly doesn't take into account that, and I don't think the Masters delivers those kind of numbers. And I bet they're enormous. I mean, if you had to ask me, I would say that more people consumed parts of this Masters visually by a video or streaming or something than have ever done before, because that app is amazing. But the TV numbers, the broadcast numbers are down. And I think a lot of that has to do with sort of this anger over what's going on at the top of the men's professional game right now, between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf, and so much talk about money. It turns some people off. But the golf itself, I wish people would turn that back on, because it's been extraordinary.
Yeah. Do you think there's any case to be made that it's diluted, that the product on the PGA Tour is diluted given the number of players that are have gone to LIV?
A little bit, but you know, that wasn't the case at the Masters. I mean, you had all the people that needed to be at the Masters were at the Masters. I know some LIV people will, you know, quibble over a Taylor Gooch, but last I checked, Taylor Gooch didn't make any of the previous majors any more interesting when he got in them. So I really don't think there was anybody not there that didn't need to be there. And it was still the Masters. So the fact that those numbers were down on CBS is telling, it's revealing. But, you know, I don't think it's diluted to the point of it not being watchable. And I really don't think it'll have a great impact in the future, because so many new stars like Ludwig Aubert and these guys are coming up that, you know, there's always a replacement.
There always is, and that's the thing. I remember when John Rahm announced, I was like, this is huge. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe John Rahm is leaving the PGA Tour. This is massive. And then I had a couple of guys ask me the other day, hey, what's John Rahm been up to? Has he been playing any good? You know, it's our attention span is so short now with Twitter and all of the social media, the instant gratification and all of that kind of thing. The real risk of leaving to go to LIV Tour, for instance, at least at this point in time, given that nobody's really watching that, is that they kind of fall into obscurity. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not good players anymore. That doesn't mean that there couldn't be a good product eventually on that side. It just is right now, it's how quickly people are forgotten is remarkable.
It really is. I mean, some of those pictures that they had of John Rahm playing, I know it was in Saudi Arabia earlier this year, and they don't have many people show up there. It's not like this week where they're going to have tons of people in Australia, a different animal. But watching John Rahm hit into greens with not a single person around it, it seems sad to me. Yeah. Because I'm like, man, this guy's talent is being wasted in that market, you know, because nobody's watching. But then again, maybe this week he'll be, you know, his enthusiasm will be lifted by the amount of people who are going to show up in Adelaide, South Australia, because, you know, they embrace it down there. And maybe that'll sort of spark his interest again, because it looked like his interest was fading a little bit.
I had a conversation, which I love to do, underneath the tree there at Augusta. It's one of my favorite parts of being there. And it was with a credible source who said that John Rahm's comment about the LIV Tour, which he would never do on record, is that it just feels like dead air, that there's not a purpose, that it's as if you're beating a drum and there's no sound coming out. I thought that was really, really interesting to hear that. If that is in fact true, that kind of plays into the idea that it's a bit of a letdown, that there is this, these players are, not only are they good players and they want to get paid for it, but they also want some recognition, especially those in their prime. And you don't get that just yet over there at LIV Golf.
No, you certainly don't. And that's why I do hope that there's some kind of arrangement made that we can get those guys in more meaningful tournaments, because the LIV tournaments haven't proven to be meaningful yet. Maybe one day they will be. You know, and they make some tweaks to things, and Rahm certainly seems open to trying to get them to change some of the things they do. He's already talking about going to 72 holes and things like that, and really encouraging it right in front of Greg Norman. So I think getting those guys back in the what we would call the normal golf ecosystem is kind of important, because I do feel like they can sort of fall off the map when they're playing in a vacuum at LIV.
Scott Michaud joining us here on Real Golf Radio. Let me get back to your article here on the Daily Drive. This paragraph was so good that you wrote, by the way. The only thing that was, you're talking about Scottie Scheffler, the only thing that Woods had on Scheffler was the showmanship. Woods was all fist pumps and howls and attitude when he trampled his peers. He wore red and black every Sunday like it was his Marvel uniform that conveyed superpowers to his challengers. He exerted his will on the golf course, and his outsized stardom drew all the oxygen. You went on, and it was so good. Let's see this last this next line here. Dramatic shots that left tongues wagging and rivals dragging. Brilliant. I was like, literally, like, I got to call Scott. That is so good. So, and then you followed up with Scotty isn't really any of that yet. How big or how important is it? I mean, if Scotty's going around playing the same kind of golf as Tiger, but without the showmanship, is that how, I guess, I don't know how to measure that, but is that a big deal, do you think, to most golf fans or many golf fans?
Well, I mean, it certainly plays out in the ratings. I mean, Scotty's a popular guy. I mean, people like him. There's nothing not to like about Scotty Scheffler, but he's not the personality that Tiger is, and not many people are. And golf only has a few of those guys that come every now and then. You know, Rory seems to have a certain magnetism about him. Rom has a magnetism about him. Scotty's not a magnetic personality. He, like Ricky Fowler, in a way, he's a little bit vanilla, but his golf game is not. His golf game is extraordinary, and I think it's fun to watch him swing the ball because I love watching his feet move like that, and I can't believe it works. You know, that somebody along the way didn't say, hey, you can't do that. You know, that'll never work, you know, at the highest level. Well, guess what? It works better than anybody else's works at the highest level. You know, he's taken out one side of a golf course with the way he moves his feet like that. He doesn't make big mistakes. And you know, maybe if he takes more chances and hits more daring shots like Tiger would do at times, it would, you know, amp up his recognition factor, but it's just not who he is. And, you know, you're just going to have to appreciate the excellence of his game.
And you mentioned the same thing about Nelly Korda, how she sings a similar tune. And her quote, and I loved this too, I listened to her interview and you quoted this in your article, "I think there's a key in the simplicity that I have when I play." I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know how to take that to the range and find that and make my game better. But there is something that resonated when she said there is a key in the simplicity. And maybe that's just what it is.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said for see ball, hit ball, and not going all Padre Harrington on the world and trying to change everything, every swing. You know, these two, they believe in what they're doing when they step up to the golf ball, and that works. Whereas you got guys right now who clearly aren't believing in what they do every time they step up to a golf ball, and it doesn't work. And so simplicity, man, I wish I had that in my game.
Yeah, don't we all? And you went on to point out that Scheffler leads the PGA Tour in 30 statistical categories, a figure we can't perfectly compare to Woods in 2000 before ShotLink, but is kind of right up there with what Tiger did. So kind of in summary here, we've got Nelly, we got Korda, we got Scotty. They're both playing at an extremely high level, dominating both of their tours. So regardless of all the other noise that's going on, this is a great time to tune in and watch golf.
It really is. It really is. And I can't wait till Scotty gets back from his paternity leave here and hope it's in time for the PGA Championship. And I want to see if Nelly can do it again. I mean, man, six. That would be incredible.
That would be unreal. Scott, thanks so much for taking the time. Great work there on Daily Drive and, of course, Global Golf Post. We appreciate it. It's good to check in with you and see you at Augusta as well. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Brian. Talk to you soon.
There you go. Scott Michaud joining us right here on Real Golf Radio.